Module 8, Lesson 5.1, Sleep Training at Nap Time. One of the most commonly asked questions that we hear from parents regarding the sleep training process is, where should my little one sleep for naps during this process? So here are some of our recommendations. If your child has been taking their naps in a stroller or carrier so far, we do suggest that from day one of sleep training that you start settling your baby to sleep in their bed for at least the midday nap. And depending on how many naps your child still takes, you could potentially leave the first and or third nap in the stroller or carrier. But doing at least one nap a day in bed gives your little one the opportunity to practice connecting their sleep cycles, and it encourages them to do that in the night as well. Be mindful, however, that if your child's main sleep association is movement, like falling asleep in the moving stroller, in the carrier, or being rocked to sleep, keeping too many naps with movement in the stroller or carrier may make it harder for your little one to get used to falling asleep without movement, and it can add more protest to this process. So if that's your child, we would suggest that you do as many naps as possible in bed. Also, if cat napping is currently an issue, regardless of where your child sleeps, we would advise that you conduct both the morning and midday naps indoors from the beginning for at least the first week, so they get as much practice as possible falling asleep in bed. We do suggest that you leave the third nap, if that's still applicable to your child, in the stroller or carrier, because that's generally the hardest nap to achieve. But without it, your little one is going to get overtired by bedtime. If your child has never slept in a stroller or carrier or struggles to fall asleep in one, then there's no point in starting to attempt a stroller or carrier nap now. So we would just advise that you continue to put your child to sleep in bed in that case. But you might be asking, what if I want to keep the midday nap in the stroller? This is possible, but please do remember that this is only possible if your child sleeps in a stationary stroller, one without movement. If the child has too much movement here, the nap is going to be less restorative, and it's going to add to their overtiredness. Also, keep in mind that if you would like to do this, you should still give your child at least one other opportunity to do a nap indoors in their bed so that they can get that practice and stay flexible. And this is also going to ease their transition into daycare if they're needing to nap in a bed there. So how do we implement the settling method at nap time? At nap time, implement your settling method for a maximum of 40 minutes to get your child to sleep. If after 40 minutes your little one still has not yet fallen asleep, you can cheerfully open the curtains and just get them up. And then you proceed as follows, depending on the age of your child. So if your child is between 5 to 8 months, you would then give them a feed and a short playtime, and then try a second nap attempt in bed, again implementing your settling method for up to 40 minutes. It is most likely that they will fall asleep again this second time. You may then need to adjust the rest of the day routine and use the age-appropriate awake times to plan the next nap and bedtime. If your child is between 9 to 24 months, however, do not do a second nap attempt, but instead just move the start of the next anticipated nap time or bedtime slightly earlier to just keep that schedule and to curb overtiredness. Extending short naps. Remember, you don't need to actively work on extending cat naps during those first 3 days of sleep training. The naps may actually start to improve on their own as you're addressing sleep associations. So if you can see that naps are already starting to improve within the first 3 days of sleep training on their own, you can wait with any active nap extension process for another 3 days and just see how it pans out. However, if on day 3 of sleep training your little one is still catnapping and you haven't seen any improvement with them doing longer naps, you do probably need to start working on extending the naps on day 4 using the following steps. Step 1. When your baby wakes up too early from the midday nap, you wait at least 5 to 10 minutes before going in. If they're just talking or fussing or grumbling in bed, you give them a little bit more time. We want to see, are they capable of settling back to sleep by themselves? However, if they're still crying after this waiting period, you would then go in and use your chosen method for a further 30 to 45 minutes to try and encourage them to go back to sleep. So in the situation that your child does fall back asleep, It's okay to allow them to sleep then past the planned nap wake-up time from the recommended schedule. You may still need to wake them before they've gotten the full nap length of sleep, just in order to maintain the overall balance of the day's sleep. We don't want to push bedtime too late. If your little one takes 30 to 45 minutes to fall back to sleep after that first wake-up, then you would get them up at the next waking, so regardless of how long they slept. Or, if they're sleeping really well, you would wake them up once they've slept 2 hours in total, including the sleep that they got before the nap extension. And then you need to adjust the next nap or bedtime accordingly, according to their age-appropriate awake times. If the nap involves a lot of resettling, a lot of crying, and if it ends before the planned wake-up time, you do need to move the next nap or bedtime slightly earlier, using the lower end of your child's age-appropriate awake time just to avoid overtiredness. So, here's an example. Your 5-month-old baby's midday nap is supposed to be 2 hours long, say, from 12:15 to 2:15 p.m. Let's say it takes her till 12:25 to fall asleep, and then she wakes after 35 minutes at around 1 p.m. So here you would first wait until 1:05 before going in. Let's say she's been crying that whole time and she hasn't shown any signs that she's going to be self-settling. So you go in and you implement your settling method for up to 45 minutes. So in this case, let's assume that she falls asleep at 1:35 after 30 minutes. You would then let her sleep until she naturally wakes up, or until 3 p.m., once she's gotten the 2 hours of sleep in total. In this case, the third nap, because the child is only 5 months old, the third nap would need to move slightly later, starting at around 4:45, and also be slightly shorter, a maximum of 30 minutes, so that bedtime doesn't get pushed too late. Alternatively, if we say that the baby were to wake closer to 2:15 after resettling and falling asleep at 1:35, you could then follow a 2-hour awake time after the nap and adjust the timing for the third nap and bedtime accordingly. In the case that your child does not fall back to sleep after implementing your settling method for 30 to 45 minutes, you would then open the curtains and do a calm and happy wake up after a maximum of 45 minutes of resettling. We don't want to push it too much longer. And then you would move the third nap, if applicable, or bedtime to be earlier. Don't worry, even if your little one does not fall back asleep within the 30 to 45 minutes time of implementing your settling method, it's not a failure. This is still a learning time, and it actually does still help in the long run. The dark room, the limited social interaction, it all helps to encourage their body to do a longer nap the following day. So stay consistent and do that attempted resettle. If the nap involves a lot of resettling, like I've said, and it ends before the planned wake-up time, you would then need to move the nap or bedtime slightly earlier, again using the lower end of your child's age-appropriate awake time to avoid overtiredness. So here's another example in this case where the child does not fall back to sleep. So say your 5-month-old wakes up after just 1 o'clock, as in the previous example, and you resettled until 1:50, but she still has not fallen asleep. That means that you've implemented the settling method from 1:05 until 1:50. That's 45 minutes of resettling time, and she still has not fallen asleep. You would then get her up from her nap and move her third nap to be at 3:30. That's earlier than it's in the schedule. And then let's say she does a third nap from, say, 3:45 till 4:30. Bedtime would then need to also be brought earlier to about 6:30 to avoid overtiredness. So we're always wanting to try and adapt based on what the child has actually done and not just stick to the schedule's times. We really want to keep those age-appropriate awake times in mind so that we don't end up with an overtired baby at bedtime. Extending naps can take 1 to 2 weeks, so be patient and don't give up if you don't see results immediately. It often kind of goes back and forth as the nighttime improves and then the naps get a little bit worse and then the naps improve and the night gets a little bit worse. So it's kind of this ebb and flow for a little bit, so be patient. However, if your little one has not been able to sleep longer or fall back asleep during any nap extensions in 7 days, we do suggest that you look over their entire day schedule and sleep plan just to make sure that there's not something else that needs to be adjusted first. We also encourage you to attend one of our group coaching sessions in this case, just so that we can take a look at the situation together.